Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today, I'm bringing you something a little bit different, Invion Group. I'm joined by their Executive Chair and CEO, Tian Chu. We're going to be talking about photodynamic therapy. Who knew? Photodynamic therapy. It's kind of a biotech company, I guess, Tian, isn't it? And it's cancer therapy stock. But you're doing some things a little bit differently. So first of all, thanks for joining me on Small Caps. But secondly, before we go into the detail, let's just give our investor audience, who is Invion Group, or who are?
Okay, thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me on. So in terms of Invion, okay, photodynamic therapy, what that means, it's actually a treatment modality where you have this compound or drug and you either inject it into a tumor or you put it in your skin. And what it does is it actually localizes quite selectively into the cancer cells and not into healthy cells. So this little compound stays inside the cancers. It just doesn't absorb into healthy cells. Now, by itself, nothing happens. It's actually non-toxic, nothing happens at all. But when you shine a light on it, what happens, a certain frequency of light, what happens is a chemical reaction that releases a type of oxygen that kills those cells that it's in, i.e. the cancer cells. And therefore, it basically selectively gets rid of and kills malignant cells without harming the nearby healthy tissue.
And is that, sorry to interrupt you, Tian, is that what normally happens now, like with chemotherapy and radiotherapy and all those nasty ones? It basically zaps everything there, but also around it. Is that, and that's what makes people a bit sick?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So unfortunately, chemotherapy and radiotherapy, which are, widely used, they've got their successes, their standard of care. Unfortunately, the approach they use is really just to carpet bomb the whole place. And so your immune system gets crushed. You basically have the tumor cells actually get smaller, but unfortunately, your body's ability to fight in the future, our tumors becomes more compromised because of this immunocompromised effect. So, and then the surgery is obviously the other aspect as well, and treatment approach people use. But quite often, I think they've done studies where they show 30% of what they cut out was actually healthy, and then 30% of what they're looking for, they actually didn't find, because tumors can become very small, they can spread. And so, cancer is still, a very, very large issue from a healthcare perspective. And the industry is still looking for more and effective treatments out there.
Well, you spoke about photodynamic therapy. Who else is doing it? Is it common, or is Invion Group leading the pack, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Those in the industry have said, it's been around for like decades, and the approach has been around for decades. And in fact, there are photodynamic therapy drugs already in the market. And a lot of those original first generation, what they call photosensitizers, which is that compound, had significant side effects. So many of them were blood-based. And because they're blood-based, they would actually stay inside the system for a long time. And because they react to light, people have to stay in the dark for weeks. Oh, they couldn't actually leave.
That made it quite, I'd forgotten quite challenging. About that. Yeah, you have to stay away from sunlight and put stuff all over your head and all that sort of stuff, isn't it? Is that right?
That's right. So not very practical, unfortunately.
No.
And the other thing is it tended to react even when there wasn't light, and it wasn't as selective into cancer tissues. So it also sort of, damaged our healthy tissues as well. So our technology actually is based on chlorophyll. Actually, it's a chlorine-based compound. And because it's not blood-based, it actually gets out of your system much faster. And as we actually did, we announced in May, we actually finished some proof of concept tests on some mice, we'd actually been improving the actual compound during the COVID period. We were actually planning to do some clinical trials, but unfortunately, you know, the little pandemic got in the way.
Just a little pandemic.
Just a small one. And so we decided to go back to the lab and actually improve the compound. And we tested it, the new version, which we call INV043, okay. which essentially implies that we're a lot more than 43 compounds we developed and tested. And we found, we actually tested it against a number of cancers. So that included pancreatic cancer, T-cell lymphoma, you know, and triple negative breast cancer. And they all are difficult to treat cancers. And we found in all cases that the tumor size actually dropped quite dramatically and regressed, which is a really good sign.
So have you got a, sorry to interrupt you again, have you got a patent around this? Is this something which, because as you say, this is like next generation of the photodynamic therapy that other, so is there some protection around this? I'm thinking about this from an investor point of view, with people getting excited about this. Can others jump onto this and do it themselves?
It'd be pretty tough. It took about the last 20 years, I think, for RMW Cho Group. They're the guys that invented it and we're partnered up with them. In fact, they're actually one of the major shareholders. The chairman who is actually heading up R&D is actually a part of Invion. So we have a patent that has been granted a few years back. And we also filed provisional patents for some of the new work that we've done. So absolutely, we're actually protected by patents, and so it's pretty tough to actually copy. But you know, everyone's welcome.
Well, as you say, though, they've been at it for 20 years. How did Invion Group, I guess, partner up with RMW Cho Group? Because as you say, they've been doing it for 20 years. What's that arrangement? And from an investor's point of view, how does that work? How's that working?
Yeah, it's a great question. That's actually how I got involved. So I knew the Cho Group, RMW Cho, for many years previously. And the founder, Michael, had basically said, I've got this really interesting treatment that we can use for cancer. And he showed me various sort of examples of what he'd done. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. And he said, look, I'm not off the money. I don't need this. I don't need that. Just, you know, just take your time and let me know what you think. And because he felt very confident about it, we actually felt, you know what, instead of trying to sort of, and he'd actually, you know, sort of done some work in China and had some interesting successes. But, you know, what we wanted to do was to say, you know what, why don't we do it sort of in a more formal way? And because both of us actually grew up in Australia, we said, well, why don't we come to Australia, which is also a great place to develop early stage biotech assets. Australia is very, very friendly for doing early stage clinical trials and is a bit cheaper, actually is a fair bit cheaper than the US. And yet the quality of the results is very good. So we basically decided to come to Australia. And the other aspect is we wanted to start a journey, which is no one had heard of us. No one really knew who we were. And instead of us bleating away for like hours on end to all these random people, we said, well, why don't we invest and acquire a biotech listco in Australia? And that was Invion. So the Invion transaction, which occurred in 2017, was essentially to inject the Australia New Zealand license initially, and in exchange get shares of the company. And the two objectives of that transaction, number one was to acquire a biotech team, which Invion had,
right?
And number two was to essentially create a platform to let people know what was going on. Strangely enough, we weren't there to raise money. So because the Cho Group essentially fully funded the cancer development program.
They still fully funded? And sorry, before I go on to that funding side of things, because you said that, you know, you knew Michael and he said, look, I've got this really interesting thing. Your background is not biotech. Your background is an investment background and management consulting. So I'm just curious as to why you've gone from sort of, I think it was it Goldman Sachs, I think you were with?
And, it was Goldman Sachs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And management consulting, and now you're with a biotech. What attracted you to this particular company? Because it's a bit of a change, Tian.
It is a little bit of a change, Kerry, and life can have strange turns sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you know, the I originally was involved working with Michael because of my experience in Goldman, and I helped in actually the acquisition of Invion. I did all the work in the background.
Yep.
After the transaction finished, he basically said, hey, do you want to be sort of non-executive chair? And I said, okay, all right, well, I'll come in and be involved, but there's already a team there. So so essentially I don't have to do the day-to-day, which is fine, you know. And I guess over the years I've been there, I got a little bit more and more involved, and I found it a fascinating industry. It in addition to, I guess, the, you know, the dynamics of an investment, for me, I really love getting involved in understanding and interacting with the scientists, the pharmaceutical executives, just a whole plethora of different expertise who actually really they're kind of their hearts in the right place. Pretty much everyone in the business is not just after making more money or making a bigger bonus, whatever it might be. There's a part of them that really talks about, okay, we're trying to make a difference here. We're trying to learn a little bit more. We're trying to understand the science and see how we can translate that into making a change and hopefully positive change in people's lives. So that's something that I really actually enjoy about what I'm doing now. I guess the transition to CEO was kind of also unplanned, because we were, as I mentioned, planning to go to clinical trials. Mm. And what actually happened was this pandemic thing put a stop to everything. And what we had was essentially a team that was essentially very well skilled to conduct and run clinical trials and that part of the process. But we had this long period of time. We just didn't know what was going to go happen. We just had no idea how long this pandemic would take. We still don't. So the business essentially had cash burn. And so we had to make some difficult decisions. And so as a result of those changes we did last year, I stepped in to be our chief executive and really made the business a lot more modular. So instead of having high fixed costs, we really are a high variable cost. So we can sort of patch in, patch out our skill sets as required, particularly because we're still at a stage where there's a lot of changes and adjustments we have to make, not to mention this pandemic. So at this stage of the game, you know, we want to be sort of nimble. And so long story short, that's how I've ended up in this spot.
Yeah, well, with the RMW, and thank you for that background, because I think that's really important to understand it. With the RMW Cho Group, and then Invion comes in so that you can list on the ASX, what about funding? You mentioned earlier that they're funding the clinical trials. Is that correct?
Yes. So they are funding the cancer side of the program.
Right.
Everything from preclinical to clinical trials. Now, we actually have a placement happening later this month, which is actually linked to opening a whole new disease areas that we're going to be focused on. So what that transaction is, essentially, there's a $4.5 million investment that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And we're going to use half of that capital to acquire additional territories and disease areas. So in addition to the cancer, we're also going to be opening up atherosclerosis, which is actually linked to heart disease. It's where you've got these plaques that build up in your arteries. It's actually the heart disease is still the number one killer.
Number one killer in the world.
Yeah. By a big margin. And the other one is infectious diseases, which is an incredibly large and very topical area as well.
Very topical at the moment, Tian.
It is extremely topical. Yes. So that really opens up the possibilities for us. We are still very focused on cancer, and cancer is obviously in a much more advanced stage. And our next phase is essentially, you know, how do we get to the clinical trials as quickly as possible? now that we've actually shown that it actually regresses to humans. Now, we have another, in terms of proof of concept, there's another aspect which we're working on at the moment, which is, in addition to just killing the tumor, does it activate the immune response so that we can keep the body starts to identify and fight those cancers? And that's something we're testing now. Now, if that, depending on the results of those tests, that could be have quite interesting ramifications. And once we finish these proof of concepts, and in the meantime, we also have to ramp up for these clinical trials. We have to make sure that we're ramping up manufacturing the product. We're basically complying with our preclinical work. We have to start working with clinicians and ethics committees, et cetera. And on top of that,
it takes a while, doesn't it? It's not as simple as people think. Yeah,
exactly. Well, for good reason. I mean, you're going to be treating human beings, so you kind of want to make sure it's safe. And the other aspect which we're thinking about right now is which cancers do we focus on? And there are a lot of factors that come into that. You have to think about, well, how much does it cost? How big is the need? How long does it take? And so there's a lot of different elements that come into that. And because we can treat potentially more than one type of cancer, we have a really broad range of opportunity. And so we need to focus on a small number, recognizing that we have, you know, a larger opportunity here. So that's kind of, you know, the some of the things working at the moment.
Yeah, I just going back. So, can we just call it PDT, photodynamic therapy? Can we call it PDT?
Yes, please. Yes.
So, with PDT, which you've patented, other people have used it before, but the way that you're using it is a little bit different, a bit unique. Are you saying that can be used across any sort of cancer because you're directing the light? You can know, in an ideal world, I guess chemotherapy and radiotherapy is no longer needed, which actually makes people pretty sick. But if you use PDT, it's very much targeted and it doesn't make people as ill. Is that across any type of cancer, or do you have to go through them one by one by one to look at the efficacy?
Well, cancer is a really, really big area. So certainly we're not going to be solving all cancers. we have demonstrated we can treat more than one cancer. So I can't say we treat all cancers. We can certainly treat more than one. And there will be limitations because you actually need to get the light to penetrate and activate the compound. So, when it kind of gets deep into the body and the tissue, you can still possibly do it, but you have to find different ways to get the light in there. We're not going to solve the world's problems overnight, but certainly and this is the way it works. Even though we have proven in some mice that we can treat multiple cancers there, you know, the dynamics are different when you actually get into a human being. Mm-hmm. And so before you can say, look, I can treat this cancer, I'm effective in that cancer, you have to go through these various stages of clinical trials. And then the first one is always around safety and toxicity, mm-hmm. making sure it's safe. And then the second round, which is phase two, then starts saying, well, does it actually work on a smaller population in humans? And then you go to the phase three, which if it does work, you say, well, let's make sure it works in a statistically significant way in a large enough population. And then we can go to the regulators and ask for approval as a registered drug.
Yeah.
So there's actually still a long time.
It's still very much early stage at the moment. We're running out of time, so I just want to go back briefly to the numbers, and then I want to ask you about what's in it for investors right now. So
sure.
The $4.5 million that's coming in, is that from general investors or a private group? And what's the split? Where is the money going to be spent of that $4.5 million?
Sure. So the $4.5 million is actually from a group of private investors who actually know RMW Cho's chairman, Michael Cho, who've actually asked him to remain on their as a director of their investment vehicle.
Okay.
That's actually why we need to go to a shareholder vote at the end of this month.
Right.
Now, of the $4.5 million coming in, we're going to use half of that to acquire the license for atherosclerosis and infectious diseases, and the remaining half will stay with Invium.
Oh, okay. So one half is for the infectious diseases, the other half is with Invion. Is that right?
Yes. One half is to acquire the license for infectious disease and atherosclerosis. Yep. And that gives us the right to have the territories across Asia Pacific, excluding Greater China.
Okay, so across Asia Pacific, but excluding China. Well, we're running out of time, so I can't go into all this.
No problem. But
one of the things I did forget to say at the moment, at the start, ladies and gentlemen, is the ASX code is IVX. And Tian, I'd love you to just say to our investor audience out there why you think, three reasons only, why you think that now is a good time for people to put their hard-earned cash, but do your own research, ladies and gentlemen, into IVX.
Okay, firstly, cancer. Cancer is, there's a big need, and we are, our next major phase is starting clinical trials. Often there's an inflection in pricing when that happens. Number two, unlike many cancer treatments out there being developed, we're focusing on more than one type of cancer. So that's a really big thing in the community. And the third thing on cancer is we're not paying for it. So it's actually RMW paying for the cancer side of things. And so we think there's some pretty interesting opportunities there. Of course, on top of that, we have the potential future on these new disease areas that we talked about earlier.
It's a fascinating story, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of news flow coming forward. One of the things I'll point out, ladies and gentlemen, which Tian hasn't, is it's patented. They have, you've got the PDT, as I like to call it now. PDT is patented, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, I think that's an absolute game changer. Really appreciate you joining me on Small Caps. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tian.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.